As we transition to the message time, I invite you to, did you get the yellow sheets in the response cards? Are they in there? No, okay. So if you could, the back of your program has a sermon note section. I would love for this to be a two-way conversation, both in real time, but also in after and following this. So hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. Use that back page to jot down some notes. And then I'd love to hear afterwards what God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that I can support you in this journey. But now I want to invite you to, oh, they're coming. So what they're passing out then, just another way, but it has a tool at the bottom where you can actually send it to me and I can follow up with you on a personal basis. Hopefully you can take advantage of that opportunity. And while we're getting those passed out, I invite you to join me in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, God, we love you. We come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, this summer we have been focusing on the heart. It started with a sermon series called Head to Heart to Hands, where we looked at five biblical principles that transform the way we think, feel, and act. Together, they spell the word heart. H, he, God owns it all. E, every day is an opportunity. A, action is required. R, remember your blessings. And T, thank God. And we kept the heart theme going with our current series entitled Pulse, where we're looking at five more concepts that align our heart with the pulse of the gospel. So far, we've covered the first four letters in pulse. P, paying attention. U, understanding empathically. L, loving with connection. And S, sensing the sacred. Today, we wrap up our heart theme with the last letter in pulse. E, embodying new life. The concept of embodying new life brought to mind a young girl that I met in my internship congregation. This girl was born with a severe bent in her spine. For the first 8 years of her life, she walked bent way over to the left. Finally, her parents found a surgeon who could straighten her spine. The surgery was a huge success, but the journey of transformation had only just begun. Because you see, that girl had grown accustomed to walking bent over. And so even with a new spine, every fiber in her body wanted to draw back to those old patterns. And if left unchecked, she would have went right back to walking the way that she did before surgery. And to make sure that that didn't happen, the girl was taken to a physical therapist who led her through regular exercises to develop new patterns and to embody the new life that she'd been given. There are many parallels between this girl's physical transformation and the spiritual transformation that we heard described in our readings for today. Like the girl had a bent in her spine, we have a bent in our heart. From the very first moment that people chose to disobey God, our hearts have been bent away from God and bent towards sinful patterns that hurt God, hurt others, and hurt ourselves. As a result, our hearts become like stone, hardened, cold, unresponsive to the love of God and the needs of God's people. We don't have to look very far to see evidence of these destructive patterns in our world today. But thankfully, God has given us the opportunity to have a new life. But in order to embody new life, we need the same two things that that girl needed. First, we need a surgeon who can operate on our hearts. But that's not all we need. Because just like that girl, we've grown accustomed to unhealthy, sinful patterns. And even with a new heart, we can get drawn right back into old patterns of sin. So we need a physical therapist, or maybe in this case, a spiritual therapist, who can lead us through exercises to develop new patterns and embody the new life that we've been given. Thankfully, God provides both. God sent his son Jesus to be our heart surgeon, and he sends his Holy Spirit to be our spiritual therapist. And I want to explore this good news with you this morning so that all of us can receive a new heart and embody new life. In our first reading from Ezekiel, we heard God's promise to give his people a new heart and a new spirit. And in our second reading from Colossians, Paul reveals how God fulfills these promises in our lives. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. You can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1831, or by scrolling to the middle of the New Testament in your Good Shepherd app, or if you brought your Bible with you, whatever. I invite you to turn with me to Colossians. And while you turn there, I'll give you a little bit of context. This book was actually a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to an early Christian community located in Colossia, which is now modern-day Turkey. And Paul was writing this letter from prison, which is just a neat detail that shows how much Paul's life had been transformed. You may know that Paul didn't start out as a follower of Jesus. He started out hunting followers of Jesus, arresting them, or torturing them, throwing them in prison. But Paul had an encounter with Jesus that changed his heart and his life forever. And now this Christian hunter is willing to be thrown in prison in order for him to spread the gospel. And even prison can't stop him. While he's in prison, he's writing letters that get sent around the world to encourage and instruct Christian communities, many of whom started because of his missionary travels. And the Colossian church started with a man named Epaphras. Epaphras came to faith in Jesus during Paul's missionary travels through Asia. He brought the good news back to his hometown of Colossia and started a church. Well, this letter was prompted when Epaphras visited Paul. He told Paul, this little young church is facing trials, false teachings, temptations, and they're starting to revert back to old sinful patterns. And so Paul writes to this young church, reminding them of the good news of Jesus and engaging them in some spiritual therapy exercises. And we're going to highlight some elements of the letter that are relevant and applicable to our lives. So Paul begins with his letter. He begins his letter with the gospel, or the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the heart surgeon that God promised would remove our heart of stone and give us a new heart. Let's look at a couple places in his letter where he proclaims this good news. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 21 to 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And then one more, Colossians 2, 13 to 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus is an amazing surgeon. He was willing to be pierced so that we could be healed. He was willing to die so that we could be made alive. And it was on the cross that Jesus took all our sin, all our guilt, all our shame, all our punishment on himself so that he could nail it to the cross and offer us God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life. When we place our faith in Jesus and open our heart to him, he removes our heart of stone and he gives us a new heart, a heart that's cleansed, a heart that is pure, a heart that is holy, a heart that beats in sync with God's heart. And here's the best thing. The surgery, totally free. And it's available to all people, no matter who you are or what you've done. You don't have to schedule an appointment. There's no waiting time. If you've never before opened your heart to Jesus, placed your faith in him, you can do it today, right now. And he will remove your heart of stone and give you a brand new heart. That's some good news. And if that's something that you would like to do, I hope that you let me know on your response card so I could celebrate you with you and support you in the journey. And I just want to open it up, and I know it's a little bit bold, but I'm wondering if anybody would be willing to share their testimony, just briefly, of how you came to believe in Jesus and the difference that that made in your life. Anybody willing to share their story of how did you come to place your faith in Jesus, and what difference has that made in your life?
First of all, sorry I'm late. I'm Janine, and this is my daughter, Rochelle. I met her today at church. I usually go to a different church, but I've been here before. And anyways, we were running late, but we made it. And let me see, before I get choked up, I've always loved the Lord ever since I was a little girl. And all I can say is he's saved my life. And I'm still on my journey, but he is everything. And I've turned my life around because of him. And he's my best friend. And he's the love of my life. And I have tried everything else there is in life to know that he is the only way. And I'm glad to share this with you. And sorry, I'm a little choked up, but believe in him because he's for real.
Amen. Love it. Thanks. Thanks for being so bold. Anybody else willing to just say, you know, I believe in Jesus. Here's why. Here's how I came to faith. The difference it's made. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, sir. It was in the back of a squad car. I won't go into details. And I made a deal with the Lord that please help me out of this situation, and I'm yours. And he did it.
Love it. Thanks. See, anytime, anywhere, it's always available. Anybody else willing to share? Yeah. We'll close with this one.
Well, I've always been a believer and saw it a long time ago in my mother, who was terminal, and how the Lord worked in her life. But personally, 17 years ago, I wasn't feeling well, and the doctor said that I wasn't going to live very long because I had some pretty severe heart trouble, and that you needed to have open heart surgery. And I had been in hospital only twice in my life, and once was when I was born. So I wasn't a regular to the hospital at all. But so I was asking the chaplain about the doctor, and he was explaining to me all the surgeries he's done and studied at Mayo Clinic, and really helped relieve me. But what relieved me the most and gave me the most confidence and the strongest belief in the Lord was he said, as the surgery starts, that the surgeon would bring the entire medical staff together working on the surgery, and they would pray. Once they would bring the person in for the surgery, and the person was asleep, already out, but they would pray over that and pray for God's hands to be working in there for this person. And all I know is when I went to sleep that day, they told me if I didn't do this, I probably wouldn't live. So that's when I came.
Wow, thanks. So you got two heart transplants. That's pretty cool. Nice. So thanks for sharing. I hope if you've never done this before, this is the real deal. Jesus loves you. He came to give you a new life and a new heart. And this is where transformation begins. But that's not where it ends. Because just like that little girl, there are so many forces at work that try to draw us back to the old sinful ways that Jesus saved us from. Internal, external. We have forces inside us, just our own sinful nature that pulls us back to the same old habits and patterns. And then we have things coming on the outside. We have trials. We have temptations. We have false teachings that try to lure us away. And that's why we need a spiritual therapist. And God's taken care of this for us as well. Gave us the surgeon, and now God provides our spiritual therapist through his Holy Spirit to develop new patterns in us and to give us exercises that help us embody new life. In our first reading from Ezekiel, we heard God promise, and I will give you my spirit. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And Paul reveals how God fulfills this promise in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. He writes, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience. The Holy Spirit is a kind spiritual therapist. Have any of you gone through physical therapy? Anybody actually been through physical? Okay, I have too. This can be some painful, hard work, yeah? And usually the physical therapist will give us a whole bunch of exercises and then just leave us to struggle on our own to get through them. But not the Holy Spirit. Now don't get me wrong, spiritual therapy can be painful and hard work at times. But the Holy Spirit is there with us all the time to help us and give us all the power we need to do the hard things that he's calling us to do. And as he continues his letter, Paul shares some spiritual therapy exercises that can help the people embody new life. And for the sake of time, I'll just share three with you. One for the head, one for the heart, and one for the hands. The first spiritual therapy exercise is for our head or our thoughts. In Colossians 3:2, Paul writes, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Paul encourages us to set our minds on godly things, not on earthly things. We can get distracted by earthly things. It's kind of like the dog in the movie Up. Did any of you see that movie? Every time a squirrel passes by the dog, he gets distracted and he yells, squirrel! And we can be like that too. We get distracted by all kinds of things. I mean, it might be big things like, you know, trials and false teaching and temptation. More often, though, it's the little everyday things that distract us. Work, even church work. Shopping, that can be a big one. House projects, vacations, car repairs, laundry, outings, activities, entertainment, hobbies, family, friends, health, vacations, savings and retirement plans, squirrel. It's not that we can't think about these things, but if left unchecked, they will distract us from the main thing. And so we set our minds on things above. In his letter, Paul lifts up some therapy tools that can help us set our minds on things above. Scripture, teaching, worship music, prayer. We gather every week as a church so that we can incorporate these tools in our spiritual therapy program. They're so important. We need them every day so we don't lose focus. Let's give you a snapshot into my life. I get up early every morning so that I can spend time reading the Bible and praying before I begin my day. I share what I read with my family at the breakfast table so that we can set our mind on godly things. Throughout the day, I listen to worship music to keep my mind focused on God. I set alarms to remind me periodically to set my mind on things above. These tools are just vital in my spiritual therapy program. If you need help incorporating these tools in your life, just let me know on your response card, and I'd be happy to help and share things that I've been learning. We need to practice this exercise every day, multiple times a day. And here are some questions to work through. What is at the top of my mind? Am I thinking more about my agenda or God's agenda? More about my will or God's will? More about building my kingdom or God's kingdom? More about my needs or the needs of others? Am I thinking like God or like the world? What would God want me to be thinking about right now. And if we find that our thoughts have become distracted, we just adjust and we set our mind on things above. The second spiritual therapy exercise is for our hearts or our emotions. In Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." The word rule comes from the language of sports. It literally means to umpire. My son and I have been watching some baseball games together. In one of the games we watched, there was a player mouthing off to the umpire. The umpire raised the red flag, threw him out of the game. The umpire gets to do that. They get to call what goes and what doesn't go in a game. If a player or a coach gets out of line, they can eject them. This gave me a new perspective on Paul's words. In essence, he's saying, let Jesus be the umpire of your heart. And we can't always control what emotions we feel. They just come. But if left unchecked, they will control our life. And rather than letting our emotions rule over us, we can bring them to Jesus and let him rule over us. And that way, if there's any emotion in our heart that threatens our peace with God, our peace with others, our peace with ourselves, Jesus can raise the red flag and the Spirit can help us eject it from our heart. For example, if we feel unloved or unlovable, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, you are chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Colossians 3:12. Or if we feel like we're falling apart, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, I am before all things, and in all things, I hold them together. Colossians 1:17. Or if we're harboring ill feelings towards others, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Colossians 2:2. Or if we're feeling down about what we don't have, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no. Be thankful for all that you do have in me. Colossians 3:15. We need to practice this exercise every day, multiple times a day. Here's some questions to work through. What am I feeling right now? Do my feelings line up with God's word, or are they out of line? Do my feelings promote or threaten peace with God, peace with others, or peace with myself? How can I deal with my emotions in a healthy way so they do not control me? What would Jesus want me to feel right now? If we find that our emotions are out of line, we adjust and we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. One more. The third spiritual therapy exercise is for our hands or our actions. In Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As followers of Jesus, we represent Jesus in all that we say and do. Our communications director recently gave a caution to our staff about social media. She said, whenever you post, whether it's a picture or a comment, you're not only representing yourself, you are representing Good Shepherd. More importantly, you are representing Jesus. And Paul gives the same caution to all of us. He says, whether you realize it or not, everything you say and do represents Jesus to the world. Therefore, we should choose words very carefully and make sure our words match the one we worship. We should choose very carefully our behaviors and make sure that our behavior matches our Savior. Paul gave another analogy to help us practice this exercise. This time he uses the imagery of taking off clothes and putting on clothes. I like this analogy because we make intentional choices every day about clothing, what we take off, what we put on, and we should apply the same intentionality when choosing our words and our actions, to remove things that don't represent Jesus well and put on things that do. We heard his advice in our second reading. I want to read it one more time. Please listen carefully. We are to remove sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. We are to remove anger, rage, meanness, lying, slander, and filthy language from our lips. And instead, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are to bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave. And in this letter, Paul says we need to apply this intentionality to every interaction we have, whether it be with our spouse, our kids, our parents, our neighbors, our coworkers, people who are a different race or culture, people who don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, and even with our enemies. This has huge implications for our world today. Amidst all the hateful words and deeds that are going around, followers of Jesus are called to a higher standard. We are to shine the light of Jesus' love in a dark world. We are to treat all people the way Jesus treats us, with compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. We are to tear down dividing walls and build bridges. We're to speak up for what is right, yet season our words with grace. We are to expose what's evil and unjust, but do it in a way that is holy and just. I know this is hard work, but with God's help and with some practice, it is possible. I recently heard Immaculee Ilibagiza speak. I don't know if any of you are familiar with her story. Her entire family was killed in the Rwandan genocide. Her life was spared by a Christian man, and she ended up placing her faith in Jesus. But when she read Jesus' command to forgive our enemies, she just could not imagine forgiving the people who killed her family and her tribe. She pushed this off, and she pushed it off, and she pushed it off, until one day she realized that her bitterness was actually holding her in prison. It was actually poisoning her life. And so she asked God to help her forgive, and God did. Ironically, she went to a prison to visit one of the men who was part of killing her family. And in that prison, she found freedom through offering this man God's forgiveness and hers. And now she serves as an advocate for peace and reconciliation all around the globe. Talk about embodying new life. We need to practice this exercise every day, multiple times a day. So here's some questions to work through. Do my words match the one I worship? Is there any lying, slander, or filthy language that I need to remove from my vocabulary? Does my behavior match my Savior? Is there any sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, anger, rage, or meanness that I need to remove from my conduct? And what would Jesus want me to say or do right now to represent his compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness? And if we find that our words and actions don't match Jesus, we adjust, and we do everything in the name of Jesus. I want to hear what's going on in your mind, hearts, and hands as we're talking about these spiritual exercises. What stood out to you? Which exercise do you really need to work on? What insights, questions, thoughts are percolating in your spirit as we went through those spiritual therapy exercises? Anybody willing to share what's on your mind, heart, or hands?
Yeah, this week I've just been bombarded by a lot of comments on Facebook dealing with a lot of the things that are going on in our nation, a lot of the discord, and I got a post from someone in this congregation that I follow, and it had a lot of racial overtones, which I was taken aback by, and you know, it would have been easy to lash out or just ignore it, but I reached out to this person, and I said, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's meet for coffee and just have a conversation. Unfortunately, the person didn't take me up on my invitation, mm-hmm. but, you know, it really made me think, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and Christ's love should shine through us, so no matter what our differences are, if they're political, the way we look, our political ideologies, we should always show that love. And we can be different, but still be respectful and be able to communicate those in a way that are respectful to each other and show Christ's love shining through us. So, you know, yeah. having the conversations, not trying to change someone's opinion, but just making them aware of somebody else that's coming at it from a different way. And there's not necessarily a right or a wrong, but just realizing that we are different and how can we peacefully exist.
Yeah. Yeah, we're called to a higher standard. So thanks for embodying that new life. Can we all just say that racism and hateful speech has no place in the church? Can we agree to that? Anybody else want to share what's percolating in your heart, mind, or hands as we're thinking about how the Holy Spirit leads us? Yeah.
I reflect on this a lot, and I'm not so sure, even though I have lots of opinions, I think we all do, I'm not so sure anymore that trying to share my perspective on anything can change the heart of another person. Instead, I think that my strengthening myself and my ability to show someone else who I truly am as a follower of Jesus, if the Bible is correct and Jesus is correct, that Jesus changes hearts. Mm. Through Amen. Our action, through our following what he would want us to follow or the ways he would want us to follow, that will be, and I may not be here to see it, but that will be the only way to change people's hearts. Mm-hmm. But my talking about it and trying to convince someone's point of view to change has no effect. Mm-hmm. It basically angers people more.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Thank you all for sharing. All right, lost it. So as we've seen today, spiritual transformation is a process. It begins when we open our heart to Jesus and let him remove our heart of stone and give us a new heart. But it doesn't stop there. It cannot stop there, or else we end up reverting back to the same old sinful patterns. And that's why God sent his Holy Spirit to lead us through this spiritual therapy exercises so we can develop new patterns and embody new life. So here's the challenge. This week, just this week, I challenge all of us, myself included, every day, practice these three exercises. Set your mind on things above. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And do everything in the name of Jesus. It's not easy, but it's worth the effort. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us every step of the way. And I also want to be a support for you. And so at the bottom of your sermon notes is that response card. And And I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and message for today. If you put your name in your email, I promise to pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then you can hand it to me on your way out, and I'll follow up with you throughout the week. But I'm going to give you some time with God and then close us in prayer.